I'm going to give you one more opportunity. How many love Jesus in the house this morning? That's more like it. I love it. I love it. Hey, you guys see something up here, all these baskets and things. You guys did this. Isn't that pretty cool? We just gave you an opportunity to bless others as we have, isn't this beautiful up here, what Marcy did and Paul? I'll appreciate that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because we serve a God of abundance. Look at your neighbor, say, we serve a God of abundance. Remind them of that this morning. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, life more abundantly. And so anywhere you see in Scripture, when you read stories about Christ and he's with his disciples, he's with the people, there's always an abundance around Jesus. There's always, that's why we love to eat around here, Rich. We have a lot of times where we just eat and share. We had a time last week, didn't we? The big barbecue meal and we had. And so because there's always an abundance around Jesus and so there's always food, there's always celebration. And so what better part of time of the year to celebrate the goodness of God is Thanksgiving and the bounty that we have, the thankfulness, the gratitude that we have in our hearts. But out of that, we also are so full that we overflow, right? And so we want to give, we want to bless, we want to be that conduit that God can use to flow through the church. And so, Lord, how can we bless? How can we extend our love to others? And so God's given us an opportunity. We didn't really know where these baskets would go. We put that before you guys and said, hey, we've got these Thanksgiving baskets. We want to bless our community. Do you know anybody that we could bless them with? And so we didn't really have a strong response as far as where they're going to go. But you know, God always has a plan. Amen. You just be obedient. And my wife said one night last week, or recently, she said, what about Richmond Drive? What if we just work through the local school, which is around our community, right here in our backyard, and maybe they could identify some families that we could help and assist with Thanksgiving. And so we made the connection with Richmond Drive and Elementary, and the counselor there was overjoyed, overwhelmed, and said, I can definitely help you with some names. And so Kirsten's been coordinating with her. We've got more names that will be submitted. So Marcy took it and just blew it out of the water and said, you know what, we're going to make the top of the box is going to be a table arrangement. And I think it's maybe just laying on there. I don't want it to fall off. But so the top of the box is a table arrangement, right? So we put that on the table. Isn't that cool? And so inside there's an envelope as well. You say, Pastor, where's the turkeys? Well, the turkeys are in this card. We didn't know where we were going to store 30 turkeys. So we got gift cards for $20. They can go buy a turkey. And then they got all the fixings inside for a delicious Thanksgiving meal. And I just think that's a wonderful thing we can do. One way we can partner with our community. Amen. So what I'd like for you guys to do, I want you to extend a hand because these homes represent family units, right? Whether it's a single parent, whether it's a husband and wife, whether it's just one child or a house full of kids. We want to extend our hands and we want to pray a blessing over this. So as they get the food, they get more than the food, but they get the spirit behind that. They get the heart behind that. We also have some things inside the box, a Bible and some other things that we hope that they'll partake in as well. And we're asking that Christ fill their home. So stretch a hand right now. Let's begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that can go beyond, Lord, our efforts and take them and, Lord, multiply them in ways that we would ever imagine, God. And I thank you that your Holy Spirit would permeate, God. Lord, bless these boxes. Lord, it's just a tool. It's all it is. It's just a small tool, God, of a way that we can love others, God, and let your love extend through us, God. We want to reach our community for you, God. We want your Holy Spirit, God, to pour through this church at First Assembly, God, to minister to the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls and young people, Lord, in our community. And God, we pray that we would, as we extend our love in this way, God, that your Holy Spirit would take it, God, and bless it and use it, God, Lord, to bring healing to this community in the name of Jesus, God. We pray for salvations, Lord, for restoration, God, for deliverance, Lord. And God, we just pray your blessings over this food, over these boxes, God. Let this small, Lord, just let this small thing, God, let it grow in a way that would have repercussions for many years to come because of lives changed. And we ask this, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said amen and amen. Can we just give the Lord a clap offering of praise one more time? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as Drew had mentioned earlier, we are also going to partner with them on some Christmas stockings. So we're going to put some gift cards and some Christmas stockings to assist moms and dads, single parents, in their Christmas shopping for their kids. And it's going to be right here through Richmond Drive again in our community. So y'all help us with that, all right? if you want to begin to give to that online on Tithely or drop it in the offering envelope, just put Christmas with Love stockings, if you would. And we're going to start putting some efforts towards that as well. Amen. How many know God is good? Turn in your Bibles. We're going to, amen, all the time. We're going to go in the book of Ephesians. And I'm excited about the word today. And I'm excited that I love Thanksgiving. Y'all can tell I like to eat, George. I'm not going to hold that back. I just, Thanksgiving, man. Little Lucas was in here this morning for prayer with our team, Sean and Hannah's little boy, and he said he's going to eat most of it, but he's going to save me a little bit when I come over to his house to eat some turkey with him. So we love Thanksgiving at our house, and we're looking forward to spending some time with our family, and I pray the same for you, that you have a blessed week. Next Sunday is going to be our Thanksgiving with Praise service, and we're just going to have a thanks praise service, if you will. We're going to have some extended worship, time of word, and a time of communion together. We're going to have family communion. We're going to ask that the family units take communion together, and it's going to be just a great time together celebration. So don't miss next Sunday as well as we come back together. How many know that that we love you and that Jesus loves you and that we just love that you come here and make this a part of your community, part of your family, part of your life? Look at your neighbor and say, we love you. And you're speaking as a church. We love you. It's all right. I know it's kind of weird when one guy looks at the other guy and says, we love you, right? Yeah, it's all right. You can do that in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Please, go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Marilyn. I appreciate that. Thank you for that reminder. Thank the Lord that He is the one who feeds us, not only tangible and food-wise, but also in spirit. And that's what we're going to do right now. I love opening up the Word and just sitting at the banqueting table and letting God speak to us. Amen? So you're in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 4 today. And so Paul has been walking through this journey with us and addressing the Christians. He's talking to the Christians. He's talking to the church. And we walked together the first few parts of that letter, chapter 1-4, and we see where he's really challenging, he's really addressing the individual Christian, the community of faith, but also he's focusing in. It's like the macro is the church, but the micro is you. And so he's looking at the lives of the Christians. He's saying, you stay in the faith. Stay the course. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't go back to your old ways, but stay in the church. Stay in the way. And so now he's in chapter 4. He's addressing more of the corporate body, if you will. He's talking to the church. And so that's where I wanted us to go together these last few weeks in talking about having a heart for the house. I don't know about you, but I love my church, Belinda. I love my church. You guys love your church? When you say you love your church, you love one another. Right? And so again, you look at your neighbor and say, I love you. Yeah. I know that gets really weird, guys. I know I'm looking at these guys right here and I don't even want to say that. It's really uncomfortable to look at one. It's okay. But so we love each other. I love you. You guys up in the balcony, I love y'all up there. Hello. How's everybody doing up there today? I love you, Benjamin. Thank you, man. Awesome. I love it. But we love one another. And so when we say we love our church, I love my church, we're saying I love you. I love you. Not only do I love you in words, but I'm also loving you in deed. And that's where Paul's addressing us here. And it's where I want us to go today. Stand with me, if you will, for the reading of the word of the Lord. And we're gonna be in a couple different places. It's not like we're kind of jumping around, but I want you to just kind of stay with me for what Paul is saying here. I think it's important for us. I want to talk to you. Last week we talked about being servants and being what a true servant is. And Paul was saying if you're a servant in the house of God, if you're a servant in the body of Christ, he says you've got to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. In other words, be who you say you are. Live a life worthy of that, of the saying that I'm a Christian, I'm of the way. And then he said, bear one another in love. Bear, take up one another's burdens. Carry them in a sense, to take them off their shoulders. He said, if you're a true servant, then you're going to keep the peace. You're going to do everything in your power to keep the peace and the unity in the body of Christ. And so here we see that that Paul's writing this book to the church at Ephesus. And the beautiful part about this, he's saying, you need to do this as far as being a servant. You need to do this about walking in love. But really how you do that is being led by the Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit of God? The triune nature of God includes the Holy Spirit. Many times we pray Jesus, we pray God, but we don't necessarily think about that Holy Spirit because we just know He's there. But I love the fact that I can pray Holy Spirit. I can speak to the Holy Spirit. I can say, Holy Spirit, I need your presence. I need your guidance. I need your heart in my heart. I need your thoughts in my thoughts. And so here in Ephesians, really the Ephesians is an epistle of the Spirit. Direct mention of the Spirit is made at least 12 times in this letter to the church of Ephesus. And Paul warns, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It says that you are sealed for the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ, He puts His stamp of his name on your heart. He fills you with the Holy Spirit because you are sealed for that day of redemption. Aren't you thankful for that day? In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the triumph, the archangel would blow the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. That's you and me. So we have that day of redemption to look forward to. And also we have, there's roles of the Holy Spirit that Paul addresses in Ephesians. And some of these chief roles include this, the Holy Spirit's role in our salvation. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit led you to a place to know that you need God? We call it conviction. We call it, my heart was about beat out of my chest. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had to come to Jesus. We call that a moment, a defining moment where we just knew the Holy Spirit grabbed our hearts. Illuminated God to us through a word, through a song, whatever it was, through your grandmama's prayers, whatever it was, there was a Holy Spirit role in your salvation, the God's redeeming nature, if you will. Another role of the Holy Spirit is that Christ defeats, he's defeated the evil powers on behalf of the church. You know that greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world? Do you know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of Jesus? So the Holy Spirit has defeated the enemy. Also, the Holy Spirit's role is in working in the church so that God's people maintain the unity of the Spirit. We have a Spirit of God among us. Aren't you thankful for that? We're still living in a day where the Spirit of God is among us and He's working in us and through us. And so He maintains the unity of the Spirit, if you will, in the house of God. So part of the Holy Spirit's work for us is to impart both life and light to the believer in the community of faith. We are God's possession. Listen, we're God's possession, so live like it. We're God's, we're His kids, and being His possession guarantees us to be with Him in eternity, sealed in Him. We have a glorious inheritance as God's people. We have a glorious inheritance as God's people. Amen? We have an abundance all around us. We're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so Paul's admonition to the church, look with me if you will in chapter 4 and verse 11. If you're there, say, praise the Lord. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity. Everybody say unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And I want you to underline it like this or highlight this or write it down on your note page. Become mature. Everybody say mature. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. One more time. Becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. How do we get there? We're going to talk about it just for a few moments. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You, Lord, for Your word today. And I ask, God, as we study Your word, as we open it, Lord, at the banqueting table, God, that You would feed Your people, Lord. Lord, let this word be a light into our path. Lord, let it be a place, God, that would illuminate, Lord, who You are to our hearts, that we might follow You hard all the days of our life. We love You, Father, and it's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Give somebody a fist bump or a high five before you're seated. I used to say big old bear hug, but then COVID came. But if you still want a bear hug, that's all right. These two guys right here might want to do that when you say I love you. So, So he's talking about walking in the fullness of God. I want to say also, those watching online, we love you. Thank you for being with us today. Hope you're in your word with us. We're in Ephesians 4. And so what I want us to do too is go over to Ephesians 5, because he's talking about how we're going to become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And he says something in chapter 5. Now, think about this as more of a letter, not necessarily chapters. And so we break this down so we can understand it a little bit better and kind of dissect it. But this is a continuous letter. And so he says something later on in his letter. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children." And he says in verse 2, "And walk in the way of love." Everybody say the way of love. He says, "Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Walk in the way of love. And so what is he talking about there? As the body of Christ, as the house of God, as a community of faith, how do we walk in love? And I believe what he's doing is he's spelling it out in the earlier part of his letter in chapter 4. I believe he spells it out. To walk in the way of love, I believe, first of all, is what he's telling us in chapter, back in 4, and we're going to go to 17. Look at 4:17, if you will. I think the first thing he tells us to do, he says, if you're going to walk in the way of love, I want you to learn to live in love. Everybody say that with me. Live in love. He spells it out in verse 17. "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to the sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." In other words, they pretty much lost their minds. Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't lose your mind. Don't lose your way. Don't live however you want to live. Live who you say you're going to be and who you are." He's spelling it out. If you're going to walk in the way of love, then you got to learn to live in love. Don't live like you've lost your way. Let's keep going. "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and you were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self." Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit just creates a new you? I've met many people who said, "You know, Pastor, I used to be just a really angry, bitter person, and the Holy Spirit is just, God came into my heart, and I'm not bitter, I'm not angry anymore. I have love for people." The Holy Spirit does that, guys. The Holy Spirit causes you to love others. "To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to be put on this, and to put on this, the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So don't live the way like you've lost your way. He's saying, don't harden your hearts toward the things of God, because these people, he's addressing the church, had given themselves over to sensuality, indulging in every kind of impurity. They were full of greed. It was like me first. They were intense in the selfish desire for something, especially wealth, the power, or food. But keep in mind, Paul is not talking to the world. Paul is talking to you and I. He's talking to the church. When you read this in the context of what he's saying, it's kind of baffling. It's like he's not scolding the world. Don't live however you want to live. Don't live in greed. Don't live in all this. But he's saying, the church, you guys have forgotten who Christ is. You've forgotten the way of love. And he said, if you're going to walk in love, you've got to live in love. You've got to live in love. You've got to understand, how many know somebody in the church today, maybe you know somebody, they're just going through the motions. You don't have to raise your hand, because we can point fingers, right? You're just going through the motions. Or maybe sometimes we feel like we're going through the motions. And Paul's saying, you get to that place in your life, you're just going through the motions, you know how to look like a Christian, but you're not really living in love, right? And he's saying, don't be that way. Don't put on the old self. Don't put on the old attitude. But he says, walk in the way of love. In 4:20, he says, this is not the way that you learned. You didn't learn to be that way through the things of God. The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to go back to your old self. The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to live a life of greed. The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to live a life however you want to live. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you to put yourself in the offering tray, to give it all to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to direct you to walk in love. Look at verse 21. He says, He says, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught. Look at your neighbor and say, you were taught. In other words, you know better. You know better than to live like this. He says, put that off. Put off the old self and put on the new self. Our grandson, Finley, man, I love that kid. He's into these costumes now. Everywhere we go, he wants a new costume. And for the last several weeks, he was a vampire. He was a vampire forever. Like for 2 months, he's been a vampire. Even like the makeup on his face and the cape and everything. And so our daughter Madison's back from Ecuador now, and she's staying with Megan and Mikey. And so now she's got him wearing a Santa costume. So and now everything's Santa. He's got the beard, he's got the hat, he's got the coat, everything. And so he wants to be Santa every day. I like that a lot better. That's really cool. So she transformed him, and so now he's wearing the Santa thing, and I love that kid. It's like he's putting this on, this costume in a sense, this way of life. And I think for a Christian, for us coming into this thing called Christianity, this thing, the way, putting off the self, putting on the new, it's like we wrap ourselves in the Holy Spirit. He wraps around us, and we become new. We walk new and we live new. All things are passed away. All things become new. Amen? Amen. And so Paul's saying, strive to live in love. So it's okay to tell you the guy sitting next to you that's really cool, say, hey, I love you, bro. It's cool. Everything's good. It's okay to do that because now we're walking in love. We're living in love. And so we're walking in love and we express that to one another. And Paul says, if you want to see God, look at verse 24. I love what he says here. He says, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul said in another part of his writing, he said, if you want to see what God looks like, then watch my life. That is a high bar to set for yourself. If you want to know what the Holy Spirit is like, if you want to know what the things of God look like, then watch my life. That's a high bar to set. And Paul, living a life that he did, he was a man just like you and me. He was imperfect. He said, my righteousness is as filthy rags. He said, I am nothing without God's righteousness. And we are there as well. But we say through the power of the Holy Spirit, if you truly want to know who God is, and we should be able to say, hello, to watch how I live. Can you say that? Can you honestly tell someone who does not know the Lord, if you want to know what being a Christian looks like, then I want you to watch how I live? So that's a challenge, isn't it? That's a challenge because we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you guys to get that in your heart. That's why you've got to nurture the spirit, man, of who you are. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're going to get there as Paul's admonishing us in this. But he continues in the same chapter in verse 25. He says, therefore, each of you must what? Put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Put off falsehood and speak truthfully. He says, in your anger, do not sin. And he goes on, he says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Do something useful with your own hands so that you may have something to share with those in need. In other words, he's saying, don't let any unwholesome talk come from who you are, from your mouth. He's saying, do those things that build one another up. I want to encourage you when I'm with you. Listen, you guys are out in that. You're out in the elements or the world all week long, and it's like you come into this house for maybe a couple hours. I'm trying to stretch it, and keep you here as long as I can on Sundays, and let's be together. And so we have these times together. But you're out there, guys, and you're out there in the workplace, and you're out there, and there's. I know it can be challenging and hard, and life can be difficult. We're all there. So when we come together, it's important that we understand the power of God among us. And that when we, as I tell our staff and our leadership here, when people come into these doors, we want to encourage you. We want to wrap our arms around you and love on you and tell you that we love you, because you won't get that in the world. What you have in here, the world didn't give it to you, and the world cannot take it away. It's the Holy Spirit of God that works among us. And so when you come into the house, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be loved on. I want you to feel the power of God in this place, because it's the power of God that will change your life. It's the Holy Spirit that will change your life. And so we want to create a place where an environment, every time we're together, where the Holy Spirit has his way and he fills you with encouragement, with strength. Aren't you thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit? And so it's important that he's saying here, he's saying it's important when we put off the old self. He says in verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. But what does he say? But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that they may benefit, so it may benefit those who listen. And he says it so far, he says, even if you do speak those things that are negative, if you do speak those things that are critical, if you do speak those things that are questionable in the house of the Lord, which has no place in the house of God, he says, if you do, then there's a place where you're grieving the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be there to grieve the Holy Spirit. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander among every, for with every form of malice. He says, what does he say instead? Verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You have been forgiven much and you have much to forgive others for. Amen. How many have been forgiven and you want to forgive? You want the Holy Spirit to flow through us and in us and through us to those who come into this door. Those are brothers and sisters in Christ, to walk in the way of love, to walk in the way of love. Then secondly, he says, if you're going to walk in the way of love, you got to live in love. And then he also says you have to live in light. Look at chapter 5 in verse 8. If you guys still with me, say praise the Lord. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed to the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. I love what Paul is saying here. Live in the light. Once I was blind, but now I can see, Bonnie. Once I was blind, once I was lost, but now I am found. Come on, Pentecostal church, hallelujah. That's a good place to shout. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was lost, but now I am found. Once I was down, I was out for the count. My feet were in muck and mire, but Jesus lifted me up and placed my feet on a rock where I could stand. You are saved. And then he said, if you are saved, then let your light shine before men. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. Look at your neighbor, say, let your light shine. Tell them to turn it on. Yeah, get lit up. Get lit up. Don't get lit up like you do at the party, but get lit up in the Holy Spirit. That's right. That guy's lit up. Lit up for Jesus. We need to get some t-shirts lit up for Jesus. I love it. I'm lit up for Jesus. I just came from church. Hey, they said that those people are drunk, right? Like they're drunk, right? Because they're full of the Holy Spirit. They're the day of Pentecost. They're full of God. And so they, listen, I want God to hit this place so hard that when we walk out of these doors, we can't even stand up, man. We're just falling out on the sidewalk out there. And people driving by said, what in the world are they drinking in there? That's when the Holy Spirit's on fire in this place. When we are overwhelmed and overcome by the presence of God, that it transforms us. It changes us. And we can't live in the old self. And how dare we be critical and be cynical and be dissentious in here, because God's in this place. We don't grieve the Holy Spirit. There's no room for gossip or murmuring or criticism, because we want God in the house. Paul said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't live this foolish way, but walk in light. And it's also, he says, walk in the light. And he also says, live in the light. How do we live in the light? And I believe he tells us this in verse 9. This is what he means. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness. Everybody say goodness, righteousness, and truth. So Paul really, this is what, he says, find out what pleases the Lord. So if you're going to walk in light, walk in goodness. However that works in your heart, in your life, what does that look like? Walk in righteousness and walk in truth. In other words, let your yes mean yes. Be the person of your word. Be the person that you say that you are. Paul has already described non-Christian to Christian. by sharing metaphors of old person and new person. He's saying that the non-Christian, the old person, you were lost and now you are found. He's echoing these metaphors. He's saying, and now Christian, and he said, so there's, and now he brings it, he elevates it to another level. He's saying it's not just the old self and new self. Now he says it's darkness and light, which brings a little bit more clarity, a little bit more meaning, because darkness would symbolize death. Darkness would symbolize ignorance. Darkness was, it would symbolize error and evil. But aren't you thankful that light represents life? Light represents happiness. Light represents revelation. Light represents truth. And light represents righteousness. So in John's gospel, the non-Christian loves darkness rather than light. And John addresses this in his gospel. Every evildoer hates the light and avoids it for fear of exposure. Most deeds are done in darkness. Most deeds are done behind the scenes where nobody else can see. Most break-ins, most things happen, most crimes happen in darkness. Darkness, there's death and ignorance and error and evil. Light, there's life and happiness and revelation, truth and righteousness. John 3, 19 and 20 says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. Listen, as followers of Jesus, we are followers of the light. Jesus is the light. He is the illumination of who we are. He is the Christmas story that we're going to be talking about in a few weeks. He is the Thanksgiving. He is the abundance. Jesus is the light. So as children of light, be followers of the light of the world. In him there is no darkness. There is no darkness in Jesus. God's children cannot live in darkness. Listen, guys, I'm here to tell you, you can't live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It does not work that way. I see a lot of heads. You guys agreeing with me? Let's bring it down to the micro. That's the macro. The micro is you can't live. I'm going to step on some toes right here. Is that all right? Sometimes you stub your toe. It's like, why did I kick that table? It's like I kicked it harder than I should have kicked it. Sometimes God's word hits me that way, Shirley. It just hits me that way. And it says, you know what? You're reading this, but it's for you. You can't live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church and feel like you're going to get all the Holy Spirit has for you and live in that light that he's asking you to live, that he's really commanding you to live. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, you've got to put both feet in the tray, both feet in, and say, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all yours. I'm tired of living in that old life. I'm tired of living part of that life. I'm tired of compartmentalizing my heart. Part of it I give to you. Part of it I hold on. Part of you in my old nature. Part of you I'm in my new nature. No, it's all or none. It's all in. Amen. You're saying, God, I am yours. And I'm committing my way to, I am yours, Lord. I am all in, whatever you have for me. And Paul says the way that you walk in light and the way that you love the light is through the Holy Spirit. Because it doesn't matter how much you try to do good, you're not going to be good enough. Matter of fact, if you're dealing with something that you know God's not pleased with, the more you try not to do that thing, God, it's going to be, you're fighting a losing battle because it's got to be the Holy Spirit in you and through you. As you give it over to God, as you confess it to God, as you say, Lord, I give this to you. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. And you humble yourself and you say, Lord, it's only by your Spirit that I'm transformed. And the more you step out of that old self into the new self, that's when you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? Aren't you thankful for that? You cannot live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It doesn't work that way. Those of you watching online, maybe, I don't know how you found us today. Maybe it's the first time you clicked on, but I'm glad you're here because I believe the Holy Spirit has a word for you right now. You're living this life, and you've been in church before. You've lived for the Lord before, and I believe this is a prophetic moment right now, I believe, for you. But you know that you're not living the life you're supposed to live in God. He's called you. He set apart your life, and he's challenged you even to serve him, maybe. And he's giving you a moment of time right now to make this right. He said, get both feet in with me and serve me and be focused on me. And then through that, you're going to find life. You're going to find it more abundantly. So we have to release that to God. We have to give it to Him. We have to say, Lord, I'm not holding on any longer to the old self, the old nature. I'm giving it totally to You, 100%. That may look like different places for you in your life and where you're at in the room and wherever that Holy Spirit's ministering, I believe He's speaking to your heart. But darkness and light, I do know that when I walk into a dark room and I turn a light on, I know there's no more darkness in that room. Right? You flip a switch on, there's light. Let everything, and there's light. Darkness and light cannot coexist. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So Paul is saying the fruit of light is, everybody say it with me, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Tell your neighbor, turn the light on. Turn the light on. So light not only makes visible, but it also, what I love about light is that when you turn the light on, the light shines on you. I mean, look right now, the light's reflecting off of your skin. The light's reflecting off of you, off of us. The light coming into those windows is reflecting off of you guys. It's I can see the shadows, the light reflection off of your, I'm sorry, George, you got a haircut like mine, off of your head. I'm going to say it right now. See, bald guys like to make fun of other bald guys. What really hurts us is when guys that have a hair like Carlos that talk about us being bald. That's not fair. That's not fair. These guys hold on to their hair like that. But you reflect light. Did you know that most people, when you come up and meet somebody, they will reflect what you're already on your face? If you got a smile on your face, people will reflect that. If you got a frown on your face, people, if you come, yeah, you get, you're bitter or you're angry, people are going to reflect that. But if you come with love, a kind word turns away wrath, it turns it around, people will reflect what they see. And when so people see the people of God, if you're walking in the light, listen, if you're walking in the light, then when I see you, I'm going to say, you know what? I want what you've got because you've got something I need. Amen. And it's the power of God in you, working in you and through you because you're walking in light. You're loving in light. You're living in light. And so when I see your life, there's something about you. Somebody that's lost in this world, there's something about your life that's different than everybody else in the workplace. There's something about your speech. There's something about your demeanor. There's something about just the way you treat others. Isn't that beautiful when the family of God lives that way? Yeah. There's no holding the church back if we learn to live that way. Light. So light not only illuminates, but it also transforms. Everybody say transforms. Light transforms. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But not only is it going to shine to others, but it's going to shine back towards me, and it's going to change who I am. It's going to transform me. Light transforms. It's awesome. You are glowing. Look at your neighbor and say, you're glowing. Yeah, that's a good thing to say to your wife every once in a while. You're glowing, honey. You are lit up. Live in love, live in light. And Paul also says, he says, also want you to live in wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Live in wisdom. I want you to live in love. I want you to live in light. Yeah, you guys brighten it up, man. Just light it up around you. Light it up in your home. Light it up wherever you are. Light it up. Don't be in darkness, but be in light. And then he says, I love what he says here in chapter 5. Let's go down a little bit further. Now, he's talking about, in verse 3, he's giving us some ideas of that old nature, that old foolish nature, and he's saying, don't live that way. The hint of sexual immorality, impurity, greed, the improper treatment of others in the house of God. He's saying, get away from obscenity and foolish talk and coarse joking. There's no place for that. Rather, thanksgiving and giving praise and thanks. Don't be partners with them. And then he goes into this, you were once in darkness, but now you're in light. Live as children of light. And he talks about the goodness and the righteousness and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. And look at verse 15. I love this, and many of you know what he's saying right here. You've read it before. But in context of what he's saying, I want you to live in love. I want you to live in light. but I also want you to walk in wisdom. I want you to live in wisdom. And he says this in verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, be lit up, but not in that way, he's saying. And what he's saying there, too, is he's not just addressing drinking where he's, okay, we can pick this word out, and that's why we're not supposed to drink. That's not what he's saying. He's saying if you live that way and you get drunk on wine, he says, because of that drunken state, you live, there's no telling what you might do. Hello? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I can't believe what I did the other night. Right? What I used to do. It's because that leads to, he's saying that leads to debauchery and all sorts of manner of things that are not what God has in store for you, not what he has will for you. Because that drunken state can lead to more problems, to more trouble that you bring upon yourself. So he's saying, stay away from that. Instead, be filled. Everybody say, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns, reflecting that light to one another, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from the heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it doesn't matter if I feel like it or if I don't. I've got to give thanks to Him in all things. I wake up on a Monday morning and I say, Lord, this is the day you have made and I will rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. In the middle of my struggle, in the middle of my challenge, my God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm always celebrating who He is in my life. I'm always giving thanks for all that He's done in my life. Even to the prayers that haven't been answered, I say, Lord, I give you thanks in advance, Lord God, because it's in your hands and I trust you, Lord. With songs and thanksgiving and hymns. He says, when you come together, let that be this in the room. Let it be a song in the room. Let there be a light in the room. Turn the light on. If the light's not on, then you turn it on. I told my kids when they were growing up, I said, when you walk into a room, most of the time you're gonna have to be the one that goes up and introduces yourself to someone else. Most of the times you're gonna have to go in there and be the one that turns the light on. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Hello? It's easy for us to stay over in the corner and say, oh, nobody likes me, woe is me, what's wrong with me? No, you be the light. You are called to be children of God and walk in the light, love in the light, live in the light, and live in wisdom. He says, go in the room and turn the light on and let your light shine before men. But Paul says, as you do this, he says, I want you to live carefully and in wisdom. I want you to live in wisdom. I want you to walk in wisdom. And how does he spell that out? In other words, he says, you must be careful and make the most of it. In other words, you've got to be intentional, habitual, that you live carefully and nurture your spirit man. We have a place out there on the table, because it's Pastor Steve's Picks, and there's a book out there. If you haven't read it, I want everybody in here to get a copy of it. It's called Celebration of Disciplines by Richard Foster. And it's one of those books that it's one that I want to read every year. It's just one that speaks to my heart. It challenges me to make sure that I'm having the spiritual disciplines in my life that it takes for me to nurture the Spirit of God in me. You hear me this morning? There's things in my life that I have to do in a rhythm that are going to feed the spirit man of who I am. In other words, you are the only one, you're the main one who is responsible for your spiritual well-being. Did you know that? It's not your mama. It's not your daddy. It's not your grandparents, it's not your friends, it's not even your pastors that are mainly responsible for your spiritual well-being. Did you know that? We can come alongside of you, and we should, and it's our duty as Christian brothers and sisters to come alongside of you, support you, encourage you, help you in all that we can, bear one another's burdens, pick up those burdens, help you along your way. But at the end of the day, when you lay your pillow down, your head down on your pillow, it's you and God, and it's you being responsible for your spirit man and God. A relationship in Him. You're the main person. I'm going to say it again. The body of Christ is responsible to come alongside of you, but however, at the end of the day, you must find the priority in your heart to nurture your relationship with the Lord. That's why Paul says, live in wisdom. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. For Paul, spirit-filled living is worthy and wise living. Verse 18, he says, don't let the drunkenness of the world's ways, which leads to unwise living, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, guys, and I'm going to wrap it up with this. The Holy Spirit enlightens us to the Word. The enemy of your soul is not going to enlighten the Word to you. The Holy Spirit will illuminate the Word to you. He's going to enlighten the Word to you. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He will enlighten the Word. He will make access to God possible. Aren't you thankful you have a direct link to God? You don't have to go through anybody else. You go directly to God. The Holy Spirit empowers Christian living. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into one corporate body. Guys, way up in the balcony, you're part of us too down here. We're all one body up here. The Holy Spirit does this. We're all one body. The Holy Spirit inspires our worship and witness. I love when we have time, our time of worship together. It inspires our worship. It inspires our witness when we go out from these doors. We are one church. We're spreading the love of Christ to our community. And that's what we're doing this week with these baskets. Effective use of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps you be effective in using this Word, right? Some of you have your little small pocket New Testaments. Those are little pocket knives, I call them. Some of you have a big Bible. That's a sword. That's a big sword. That's the sword of the Spirit. Some of you have your electronic devices. It's the Word of God, but it's the Holy Spirit helps us to use this Word, helps us to pray effectively. God hears your prayers. And when you're praying in the Holy Spirit prays through you. That's effectual prayer before the Lord. He's praying through us. The Holy Spirit reveals the person and message of Jesus. That is why we're told throughout Scripture why the Apostle Paul encourages the church over and over and over again. And in this letter to the church of Ephesus, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Matter of fact, I want you guys, everybody in the room, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Let everybody stand up. And I want us today, this is how I just envisioned and prayed that the Lord would help us to close this out today. Because Paul's exhortation to us is that we be filled with the Spirit of God. That we be filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit would fill us through and through. Listen, if ever there is a need, a time in our nation where we need to be the church is now, guys. If ever there is a time in the church, in our nation, if ever we needed the Holy Spirit of God to fill the church, it is now. Do y'all agree with me on that? We need God. We need the Holy Spirit of God to saturate us with Himself, to infuse us with supernatural power in these last days. And I'm praying that God would use His church. Let these days be greater than the former days. Let God pour out that third wave revival and use His church. There's been many prophecies that God would pour out His Spirit. Some in the South, I've heard prophetic messages of how God's going to pour out His Spirit in the South, and it's going to carry out throughout our nation. God, let it be First Assembly of God in Rock Hill, South Carolina, that You begin it right here and right now. Let it be our churches right here, God, that You pour out Your Spirit. Lord, let it be me, but it's got to start right here. Because when we say the church, we're looking at one another. Look at your neighbor and remind them, you are the church. I'm going to posture myself like this, and you might want to do the same, because we're going to pray. We're going to pray collectively across this body that the Holy Spirit will be welcomed into this place. Now, some of you may not understand what that means, and that's cool. That's all right, and we'll get there. But what I want you to have postured in your heart is that you just want what God has for you. And in January, we're going to be going into a teaching a little bit more about what the baptism of the Holy Spirit looks like, what it's all about. I'm looking forward to that, because I'm believing and praying already that God is going to fill us through and through and through and through to overwhelming capacity and overwhelming. But you say, Pastor, maybe you've been praying. I don't fully understand. I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I really don't know what that means. But you're just saying, God, I want all that You have for me, and I'm asking that You be God in me right now. That's all I'm asking You to do today. Just be open. And say, Lord, I want to be what the Apostle Paul is encouraging us in the Word. I want to be the church. I want to be the person that God can use. I want to live in love. I want to live in light. And I want to live in wisdom. And I want to do it God's way. So I'm just going to ask you these next few moments that we just posture ourselves before the Lord. And I'm going to say a prayer that God would just fill us through and through. But I want you in your heart, in your way, and say, Lord, I want this. I want your Holy Spirit. But maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, maybe you're watching online and you say, I really don't know Jesus the way that I need to know him. And before I can ask the Holy Spirit to fill me, I need to know that Jesus is in my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. So pray this prayer. I can't pray it for you, but I can pray it with you. You know you're lost. You know you need God. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I cannot save myself. But I know, Jesus, you died for my sins and you paid the price. And so I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness and be my Lord. And I'll follow you hard all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says that you are made new. Old things are gone. Now you're made new in him. And now, across this body, I want us to right now just posture ourselves and say, Holy Spirit of God, fill me with your presence. Are you guys ready? You ready? Come on. Just, Lord, fill me with your presence in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray as we posture ourselves, as we humbly submit ourselves before you, I'm asking God for your Holy Spirit to flow through this room right now in a gentle way. In a gentle way, God, just begin to speak, begin to feel, begin, God, to renew as we make a commitment to you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Jesus.